Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Frankenmuth, Michigan, and earned a BA in hotel, restaurant, and institutional management, and an MA in educational psychology from Michigan State University. Since 1986, she's been the founder, president, and owner of the Bavarian Inn Lodge, which consists of 360 rooms and is considered the primary top-tier tourist destination in Michigan. She says she, quote-unquote, makes beds and fries chickens. Her name, Judy Zender-Keller. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're with Judy Zender, who, since 1986, has been the founder, president, and owner of the Bavarian Inn Lodge, Frankenmuth, Michigan. Judy, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here for me.
Can we start by talking about your dad, Tiny Zender, and your mom, Dorothy, please?
Sure. Happy to do so. Probably should talk, though, how dad and mom became so involved, because there's always a beginning. And our beginning started when we purchased a boarded-up building. My grandparents, my father was 8 years old at the time, 8 children, grandma and grandpa, during the Prohibition, Depression. Not a real good time to open up a restaurant, but they did. And they opened it up, of course, in a German town. And so my grandfather went to work at the courthouse, and it was the kids and my grandma that ran the restaurant. And, of course, what did grandma know how to do best? Fried chicken. And so that began. And in 1950, the restaurant across the street, which had been owned by the Fisher family for 3 generations, 60 years, they decided to sell it and ask our family if we would buy it. And we really were not real enthused about buying that restaurant at the time because, like most family businesses, money is always an issue. But Frankenmuth Chicken already had a very good reputation. And Fisher served very good food. And we were concerned that if somebody else bought it, they would not serve the same quality of food. So many guests, when they do dine in Frankenmuth, they don't say which restaurant they even eat at. They just say, I went to Frankenmuth and I had chicken. So we decided to buy the restaurant. And my mom and dad became the managers. My mother went into the kitchen. She is still there today. My father has since passed away. But he started remodeling his restaurant, Bavarian. And thus went the town of Frankenmuth.
Speaking of the town of Frankenmuth, it was founded in 1845, 173 years ago. Tell us about Frankenmuth.
Oh, I'm very happy to. I'm very proud to be from Frankenmuth and to have the heritage that our forefathers brought over with them. Those first 15 people that came in 1845, they came from a province of Bavaria called Franken. Now we would say it in English, Franconia. And the word Mut in German translated into English means courage. So it was the courage of the Franconians that came to Frankenmuth and those 15 individuals. The following year, 100 came, and the Zenders were part of that 100. And so now we had a few more people, which meant now we had a village. And we erected, a couple of years later, a wooden church. And the church is named St. Lawrence. And this is the founding church of Frankenmuth. It's a Lutheran church. In Germany, you would call it an Evangelisch. And it's named after the church of Rushdall, Germany, where many of those original immigrants came from, and also the big St. Lawrence Church in Nuremberg, which is kind of a very important part of Franken or Franconia in Germany. Most people identify with Nuremberg right away. So they came, and they were very fortunate. They bought property in the Saginaw County that they felt was very close to the soil, climate, similar to where they came from, because they came and they were farmers. That was the trade which they had to do. So in the beginning, they had to fell all the trees, and of course, lumber companies also came in and did other part. But those first 600 acres were actually bought from the Chippewa Indians, and they paid $2.50 an acre. Where Birch Run is, that was considered federal land. And that land sold for $1.50. So they could have just about as easily perhaps landed there, but they were smart enough to do the research because the Birch Run area has more of a sandy soil, whereas when you get into Saginaw County up to Tuscola County, you have the rich farmland, and that still is today. And so the crops were very abundant, and the yields every year with now modern farming technology keep increasing and increasing. So that's how Frankenmuth started. It was a very small community. It was German. They all spoke German. They had a church that was a German church service. They believed in Christian education. They formed a Lutheran school called St. Lawrence Lutheran School. That school is still in existence today. They have over 500 students that are enrolled from kindergarten through the eighth grade. They were one of the first to get the computers in the classroom, even before the public school in Frankenmuth did. So that shows you what parents who have a vested interest in their children, what they demand for an education.
We're talking to Judy Zender, whose mom, Dorothy, is 96 and still works 6 days a week in the kitchen. And her dad, Tiny Zender, passed in 2006. Mark Hicks of the Detroit News wrote an article, and Judy's husband, Don Keller, said this about his father-in-law. Quote, "He was the single driving force in changing a quiet agricultural town into a major destination. He was just a master at detail and persuasion and hard, hard work." Judy, the acorn don't fall far from the tree.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I'm Jack Wasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Wasula, and we're with Judy Zender, who says she makes beds and fries chickens. Tell us about the Bavarian Inn, Judy.
Well, the Bavarian Inn is comprised of the restaurant and of the hotel, and I work at the hotel. My brother Bill and his wife Karen and my niece Amy, they are at the restaurant along with Mom. And although we have the same ownership, we are in different buildings just because it's two different businesses. So I worked at the Bavarian Inn restaurant for 25 years before I built the lodge. So I'm very proud of the Bavarian Inn restaurant. We serve a lot of people, and we are taking a lot of pride in that as an independent restaurant, we believe that we're probably one of the largest consumers of Michigan-grown agricultural. And not too many places can say that. Probably a lot of the chain restaurants can. But, for example, we talk about chickens. Well, our chickens are not made or not grown up here in Michigan. They're generally grown or raised in warmer climates. It's a matter of economics. You don't have to refrigerate or cool the hen houses, so to speak. We go through a lot of chicken. Our chickens are a 3.5-pound hen. Most people, when they go to a restaurant, they're not consuming a chicken of that size. Why do we need a 3.5-pound hen? Our production is we boil our chickens first. We need soup broth and we need gravy, so you need stock. All right. And then when those chickens are cooled, they are then the broth goes into a chiller. The chicken itself, the whole chicken, which comes fresh, it's not frozen, actually comes from Mississippi right now. And it is put in the cooler until it's cold. It is then cut into 10 pieces. And you might say, 10 pieces, you know, why 10? It's because the breast on a 3.5-pound chicken is very, very large. So we cut that breast in half. So we have 2 pieces of white meat, a thigh and a leg and a wing on each side. Then, after it's cut, it goes through a process where it's egg wash and then it is breaded, as opposed to a batter. So when you take a bite of the chicken, you cannot take all the batter or the breading off because it's a very lightly breaded. It is then refrigerated again, and when it's time to fry, we pull it out of the cooler, we fry it, and then we serve it. So the process is totally different. And so, you know, when we go through 750 pounds of a chicken a year, that's a lot of chicken. So that comes from a different state. from Michigan. The apples come from Hillsdale, and the cranberries come from up north, Sheboygan. The squash is Frankenmuth product. It's 70 ton of this big Blue Hubbard squash. The rest of the products all come in batches as we need them. By the week, chickens we get 3-4 times a week, especially in the summer and the fall and December. The rest is a gradual. So it's kind of hard to visualize how much space, but we have lots of coolers and freezers for our products.
Let's go back to 1968. You're at Michigan State, and you get an idea to build an inn.
Yeah, well, I didn't call it an inn at that time. I called it a full-service hotel. I went to the hotel school at Michigan State. We did not have a full-service hotel in Frankenmuth, and I thought that would be kind of a nice thing. So I wrote my final paper on it. Of course, at that time, I don't think in 68, Frankenmuth could have afforded a full-service hotel in that we didn't have enough mass of people coming. We had people that came, and they came for dinner, and then, of course, a little bit later on, they came for Christmas ornaments with Brunners. But by the 70s, we started having more and more traffic because we started adding additional shops up and down Main Street. And so we did not have any convention facilities. You couldn't really stay at a hotel and have a meeting at that hotel. You'd have to go to Zender's or Bavarian Inn, and we had a small motel. So meetings in Frankenmuth were day meetings, nothing overnight. And so we built this hotel then, and we started building in 85. We opened in 86, and with 100 rooms, and we had an indoor pool. And 3 years later, we added 98 rooms. And 5 years after that, we added another 150 rooms. So that's how we get the 360. And we then really increased our convention facility. So we have our largest room will hold 500 with breakout groups, another room 300, another room 200. But I think the success is not just in our meetings. It was interesting when we had phase one with that one pool, and it was a Thanksgiving, and my father, Tiny, and I were carving on Thanksgiving in the courtyard for Thanksgiving buffet. We had one buffet in the courtyard where the pool was and the other buffet in the meeting rooms. And the entire time while we were carving, our swimming pool was full of kids swimming. And I said to my dad, I think if we add on, we have to always add a pool. And that's what we did. But the next addition wasn't just a pool, it was a fun center and a pool. And a little children's village where it looks like dollhouses, maybe 30 feet long, where little children who don't want to swim. And the other thing I noticed when we did that addition is kids like to be in water that is not any higher than their chest, especially the younger children. So when we built phase three, of course, we built another swimming pool with a waterfall and some other activities in that pool. Of course, we have a spa with each of those pools. But we expanded our family fun center to include even more games for all age levels, even for adults. It's surprising how many adults like to play these various video games. And then I was looking for an activity that generations could play together, because it's very common for us to have three generations. And now it's even common for us to have four generations. Great-grandma and grandpa, grandma and grandpa, the parents, and the children. So three generations can very easily play miniature golf. No one gets hurt. The course is a very beautifully designed, fun course, lots of bright colors. And, of course, parents and grandparents can't win anyway, right? And so that is an activity that three generations can do together. And parents and grandparents are looking for those opportunities. And so that kind of rounds out that family fun center. And it's been very successful for us. So when guests come to the hotel, they don't even have to leave the building, even if they want the Bavarian Inn chicken, because we serve it upstairs. So the full menu that we serve at the restaurant is also available at the lodge. But if you want that dining experience, then of course you want to go to the restaurant.
Every minute detail in this Bavarian Lodge is designed by a mom, and from that mom's experience in raising three children. By the way, that mom is our guest tonight, Judy Zender. And I'm Jack Masula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Judy Zender, founder, president, and owner of Bavarian Inn Lodge, which consists of 360 rooms and is considered the primary top-tier tourist destination in Michigan. If you want to learn more, www.bavarianinn.com. Bavarianinn.com. Judy, every little detail, minute detail, comes from you with your experience of being a mom. So each of the 360 rooms are named after a family from Frankenmuth, with that family's stories and pictures and that family's tree on the walls of that room.
That's correct. That was an idea we had when we started with 100 rooms. And I don't believe there's really a whole lot of original ideas. You usually copy it from somebody. But I had been at this hotel, and as I walked down one hallway, they had many rooms, suites, that were named after very important people of that community. And I saw that. And I thought to myself, correct, coming down here, you know, Max Fisher's name is on the door. And I thought, wow, we got people in Frankenmuth that if it wouldn't be for these people, we wouldn't even have a community. Who are the important people in Frankenmuth? Every one of us. And so what we did for the first 100 rooms, we made sure those original 15 and those original 100 families, we would at least have those names if they still had people living in Frankenmuth. And we contacted them and we told them we want to put their name on the door, and we'd like them to give us information so we could write up a history of their family, and any pictures they had that they would like to share with us, we would put on the wall and frame it. But we had to have the people identified who was in the pictures. It was an unbelievable phenomenon. Many of the Frankenmuth people didn't even know much about their heritage. Now it seems silly because now genealogy is so important. But 30-some years ago, not everybody was into it like they are now. And so these families came forward with just unbelievable artifacts that they wanted to put in their rooms. And if you go through some of the rooms, you'll see. You were there. You saw. They don't all look the same. Oh, the furniture is the same, the carpeting. But on the walls then are the pictures of that family that they wanted to share with the public. When it was time for phase two and phase three, we just continued adding more. So if you go on our website and you click Family Histories, you can read 360 histories of Frankenmuth people who settled in our area.
www.bavarianinn.com. Speaking of on the walls.
Yeah.
When you're walking through the hallways, you came up with an idea in 1990.
Yeah, yeah. That's because we didn't have any money and we needed to do brochures, and we didn't want to pay a photographer to take all these really classy pictures. So we thought, let's have a photo contest. And when they submit photos of their time at Bavarian Inn or Bavarian Inn property, and then we would give them prizes. We have a lot of very, very talented amateur photo people. And so we get between 500 and 600 photos every year. We continue it. We pick the top winners. We give them free overnights. We put their name underneath. And we've got these boards since 90, one every year, all over this hotel. People come back. One of the funniest things that happened to me is I was showing a guest through the hallways, and we stopped just at random at a board. And this guest said to me, "That's my neighbor." I said, "Well, isn't that nice? Now you could tell your neighbor you saw her name."
When you see, you mentioned 3 and 4 generations
yeah.
together. When you see these generations together, eating together, spending time together, talking together, Judy Zender, what do you think?
I think we did the right thing in what we built, because the whole purpose was to have a meeting place where families would play together.
You've got 375 employees in the inn. You got another 500 in the restaurant, and then 150 in various shops
yeah.
on Main Street. That's 1,000 teammates.
Yes, that is.
They're a second family to you.
Absolutely. And not just to me, but to everybody that works for us. And so the purpose of Bavarian Inn is to create enjoyable experiences. And I always say it starts with us. Every day when we come to work, we have to have the attitude, today's going to be a good day for me. I'm going to have fun. And you can have fun if you make up your mind you're going to have fun. And I use as the example that my two grandmothers were farm women. They did chores. They milked. They hoed in their fields. And they had such positive attitudes, both of them. And so we can do the same thing. And then when we're at work, we have to look for opportunities whereby we can have fun with our fellow team members. And there's things that you can do, something so simple at the end of the day to say to someone, I enjoyed working with you. I had fun working with you. See you tomorrow. I look forward to working with you tomorrow, as opposed to just leaving. So we have to make an effort to make that happen. And then we have the guest. Well, if we have the proper mind frame that I'm going to have fun today and I'm going to have fun with my team members, then it's not difficult to have fun with our guests. And I believe our guests see that we want to engage in them because the guests are very friendly. And we continually, when you walk the halls, everyone is asked, every employee is asked, when you see a guest, you stop, take a moment, say hello to them, talk to them if you'd like. Many places where you go, especially in the hotel, if you they don't talk to you. Maybe they feel that it's not their place to talk to you. In a family hotel like we are, it is our place. We want to engage with the guests. This is why we're in business, to have fun.
We met at Northwood University.
Yeah, we
did. You were being honored in the 48th class of Distinguished Women.
Yeah.
Beautiful weekend. And in your acceptance speech that Saturday night, you talked about the three K's.
Oh, yeah.
What are the three K's?
The three K's in German are Kinder, which means children, Kirche, which is church, and Kiche, which is kitchen. And that is what the Frankenmuth woman, that's how she was raised. Those were her priorities. There was no business, no outside job. It was your place was in the home. Except there has to be an exception to that because every farm, the farm woman worked with her husband. And so my grandmothers, they had to work in the fields. They had to work in the, with their husbands. My grandma Zender, she had to work in the restaurant. She was the reason we were successful, in part because she provided the day-to-day leadership. My grandmothers couldn't even vote when they were young women. So that part of history, though, is gradually changing. And, of course, I'm of the mindset, even when I was growing up, opportunities were not provided to a lot of women. So I've tried to provide as many women as provide as many opportunities as possible to women. And I believe it's very important in every industry that you don't have heavy male or heavy female. So, for example, when I started, I had a greater proportion of female managers, very simply because I would do things with them. They were women. And I realized all of a sudden I didn't have enough male managers and that I had to have equal because the male perspective in the family has to be acknowledged the same way as the female. However, most men, when I ask them this question, who decides where you're going to go on your family vacation? Most of them say so-and-so. It's usually the woman that decides, especially if it's a family vacation. But what the man wants when he's on vacation is also very important. And so the spectrum of now having male and female in all different levels of management and also in, for the hourly is very, very important, I think, for our industry. And I think it's important for every industry because you get a different perspective. I saw it happen in my own industry when you have just so many females and not enough male.
A couple of minutes ago, you used the phrase, the Frankenmuth mother.
Yeah.
Well, the matriarch of Frankenmuth is your mom, Dorothy Zender, 96.
Yeah, what a blessing.
Tell us about Mom.
Yeah, Mom. When Mom was 18, she grew up on the family farm with her sister and her brother. And when she was 18, she comes from Reese, Michigan, which is about 20 minutes from Frankenmuth. And so what do? You work on the family farm, but if you want extra money, well, they would come to Frankenmuth, and she actually worked at Fisher's Restaurant in 1937. And a number of years later, she met my dad. They got married in 43. So then she went across the street, and she worked at Zender's Restaurant until we bought Fisher's, and then she went back to the same restaurant. So she's only been at these two businesses and has actually been doing hospitality once she left the farm, so to speak. My dad always said that when the family was given the chance to buy Fishers, the majority of the family was not pro because of the tremendous debt we would have. But my mom did not enjoy farming. She liked the restaurant business, and she said she would be actively involved and support him in the restaurant. And she was actually the deciding factor that then he also became very engaged in the business. But he continued his farming right up until he passed away because his passion was also farming.
We're talking to Judy Zender, the Bavarian Inn, and right across the street is Zender's.
Yeah.
And a lot of people believe that there's only one kitchen under Main Street that supplies both. When we come back, we're going to find out whether that's true or not. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Judy Zender, who is the founder, president, and owner since 1986 of the Bavarian Inn Lodge. Judy, Zender's and the Bavarian Inn restaurant. Is there one kitchen?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Everybody thinks there's a kitchen or at least a tunnel under the road so we can go back and forth, and that really is not true. We started at Zender's. We bought the restaurant across the street. We were one corporation for 57 years. And when we decided to build the hotel, due to financing, it was not possible that we remain due to tax-free financing and capital expenditures, etc. So we had a split. And so Zender's restaurant is now owned and operated by my three cousins and Bavarian Inn, of course, by Bavarian Inn, my family. So there are nine of us in Bavarian Inn's family, my brother and our spouses, my husband. We're four. And we've been blessed that we have four of our adult children that are in senior management. And, of course, we have mom, so that's nine. So in Frankenmuth, you're known as a Zender or a Bavarian Inn Zender. And then people say, yeah, but it's in the same family. And so I just asked this question. Yes, we are. We have the same grandparents. We have the same uncles and aunts. We go to the same church, same friends. But do you share your checkbook with your cousins? And usually they smile and say no, and I say, we don't either. But they're a wonderful company to be in competition with. We meet once a month because family harmony is very important to us. And the dynamics of the Frankenmuth community is also very important to us.
Okay, sometimes when you go to meet the family once a month, you drive your 1973 Volkswagen that you drive every day.
Yeah.
Judy.
Well, I went to a German cooking school for 6 months in 73, my husband and I, and we needed a car. And so, well, what do you buy? We didn't have a lot of money, so we bought a Volkswagen. We picked it up in Germany, drove it 6 months, shipped it back, and what happened was it was a used car, so we had no duty. So it was very economical, and I just kept driving it. And I never thought about selling it. When you live in Frankenmuth, I only go a mile to and from work. And so, yeah, now it's 73, so it's 40-some years old. Had a birthday party for it when I was 40 years old.
What do you get a 40-year-old Volkswagen?
Gas cards I got. Oh, my goodness, I didn't even know all this stuff available for cars.
Zig Ziglar, probably the greatest motivational speaker in our lifetime, wrote a book. First book was See You at the Top.
Yeah.
40 times in that book, he says, you can have everything in life you want, if you will just help enough other people get what they want.
Correct.
And a lot of people say, not today, not in business today. Judy, you live that every day.
I try.
How do you do it?
I thank God every morning that I can get up and I can go to work. Because if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. So when you've had a blessing of good health, I believe you have to make the best of every opportunity. And I've been given opportunities, and sometimes you can make opportunities. And when you go to work, no matter where you go, if you give your best, people will recognize it. If you're a happy person, nobody likes negative Nancys, right? So if you give your best, and if you try to give your best to other people so that they enjoy working with you, people will see your strengths. And we all have strengths. And where we have weaknesses, we have to acknowledge what we need to help ourselves. we can improve ourselves every week, every day by doing something a little bit different or a little bit better. And so we have to not be afraid of change. We have to embrace change. We have to look for change.
I don't know, 7-8 years ago, I had Wally Bronner on the show.
Yeah, Wally's been dead almost 10 years now.
Okay.
You're showing your age.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And boy, when you walk through Bronner's with him.
Yeah, he's happy.
Everybody was the superstar and he was the nobody.
Yeah.
And he greeted everybody. Well, when I walk through the inn with you, they don't know who you are. And it's like every family, little kid, mom, dad, grandpa, you're saying hi to them, asking them where they're from, how they doing. You really love people.
I love the opportunity that I can have every day. I can maybe make a little difference. And I usually say to the young children when I get, I always talk to the children if there's a family, because the adults are naturally going to listen. I'm talking to their children. And I always tell them what my job is, that every day I get to swim in my pools and I get to play those 160 video games. I eat, you know, pizza for lunch and I get to swim and the slides, play miniature golf, have Bavarian and chicken. And then I usually say to them, what do your dads and moms do? And they look at me and say, well, they don't have a good job like you. It's a fun job. And so working with people can be fun if you want it to be fun. I want it to be fun for me.
Let's go back to November 4th, 2017. That's when we met, Northwood University, for that 48th Annual Distinguished Women Awards.
Quite an honor.
Every year, 6 to 8 amazing women.
Unbelievable. I could not believe.
What was that weekend like for you?
Oh, it was... I say, in great humility, I fry chicken and make beds. I really do, because I physically work hard. Yes, I have an office job, but I also work with my team. And these women, what they have accomplished in their life, you can't help but just be so proud that you can be in the company of people who are making a difference in a different way than what you are. That helps you. When you are with people who are progressive and who have made a difference, you can learn from them and you can say to yourself, I think I'd like to be a little bit better like them. And so I was very, very inspired by that.
Women entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
More and more they're being given a chance. And they're doing phenomenal work. Why are women entrepreneurs so successful? In so many cases.
I'm not so sure what the reasoning is going to be. I'm sure there's many books. Some people say that they care more. I don't know if they really care more. I think women sometimes have more empathy. They're more willing to not make a fast decision and never change it. One thing I learned from having children, boy, you got to have a leeway. You can't go down the straight, narrow path. You're getting bounced all over. I used to always say, and I still say this in our business, we have to win the war. We're going to lose a lot of battles. We got to win the war. So it's okay if we don't do everything right the first way, as long as we keep trying. And I think women maybe have a tendency to do more of this. Maybe it has something to do with their physical or mental makeups. You know how they talk about right brain and left brain? Yeah. So there is some truth to that, I think.
What role has faith played in your life, Judy?
Very important. I am a graduate of St. Lawrence. I was baptized. My grandfather was baptized in that same baptismal font. My father was baptized. Our children were baptized, and my grandchildren are baptized there. So we have a strong relationship with God. And I'm not ashamed to say that we, after every manager-supervisor meeting at work, we pray. And we thank God and we ask God for his help. In the beginning, I was very sensitive to whether I should pray with my leadership team. And so I would ask them, if anyone is offended, then you let me know and we'll stop doing it. And nobody ever wrote me a note. So in the beginning, I prayed and I had the prayers and a few other. Now, at the beginning of the year, we hand out a sign-up sheet. These are the dates when we as management team will be meeting. Who would like to give the prayer? It's filled up right away. So I don't think people are afraid to pray. I think sometimes, depending on who they are with, they may be a little reluctant. But if it's not banned and if it's encouraged that we have to pray together because we want to work together, there's nothing wrong with that.
When you walk into the lobby of the inn, mm-hmm. There's an upside-down Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, we used to have a live tree, between 27 and 30 feet tall. We had two of them, one in the conference lobby and one in the front lobby. And then the fire department said after 25 years that they felt it was a fire hazard, so we had to take it down and could no longer bring them in. It was a wonderful chore to bring these in. We would have guests that would call us, when are you bringing it in? They'd like to watch it. We even videotaped it and put it on our TV in-house channel so they could see how we did it. So we had to do something different. So we came up with the idea of an upside-down Christmas tree, and we made these trees out of a series of wreaths. And there actually is a history going back to the 7th century from England to Germany that it had to do with, like, the Trinity. And when you hold the tree upside down, I guess you could call it the triangular. And so you see a lot of upside-down Christmas trees in various businesses, or even I've been in homes where they have an upside-down Christmas tree. They don't suspend it from the ceiling. They have a base on the bottom, and then it shoots up. And so our guests just love that Christmas tree. So we don't take it down. What we do is we change the decorations by the season. So this week, we are going to be changing it into Chinese New Year. And our whole lobby, we hang these big lanterns. Again, another idea I got from Las Vegas. I went to some of the big resorts, and I saw these huge lanterns, and they were celebrating Chinese New Year. And I said, why do you people celebrate Chinese New Year? And they said, oh, we have so many people from China that come here. Well, it made sense to me. The next year, it was the year of the rooster, the cock. And I said, oh, if anybody's going to celebrate Chinese New Year, it should be us. We're famous for chicken. And that was the first year I started.
As our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners, Judy?
I think you have to have passion in what you do in life. And if you don't have passion, then you have to look inside yourself and say, what could I do? And often we don't want to look inside and evaluate what we could do and then take some chances in life. And if it doesn't work, try again. My father said he was going to write a book someday called Success Through Failure. And boy, have we all made mistakes, right?
Success is a journey, not a destination.
Correct.
And you've been a fabulous success.
Oh, thank you very much.
Please keep it up. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.